Good morning.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the immense love you have for us, that you did not want us to be separated from you, but reconciled us to be with you eternally through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Is everybody familiar with Bible roulette? You may have played it for fun within your group. This is often done as a spontaneous scheme of seeking biblical guidance or inspiration. There was a man who heard that the Bible has all the answers to life's problems. Realizing his life needed some help, he decided to do it by himself. And whatever emerges is what he'll do in his life. With both eyes closed, he flipped open the Bible to a random page and pointed his fingers, then opened his eyes to read what he would do. The verse he read was, "Judas went and hanged himself." "That isn't right," he thought. Then decided to repeat the sequence, and the second results reads, "Go and do likewise." "No way," he cried out. Giving it another try, he repeated the process, and the third reading was, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Surely you don't want a literal interpretation such as this, right? If we do, we may ultimately face some problems. While every verse in the Bible has its meaning and value, it's crucial to consider the broader context of the verse to fully understand its meaning. Taking a verse out of context can potentially lead to misunderstanding or misinterpretations. However, as I embarked on reading the scriptures, the role was not always the same for all of the verses. Such an instance is the answer of Jesus to the lawyer's question from our gospel reading this morning. He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Jesus' statement cannot be interpreted in any other way other than its literal meaning, which summed up the entirety of the Bible. Earlier, before Jesus uttered this answer, the Pharisees learned that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. So they gathered together, probably they sought the help of a lawyer to be one of them who will deliver the question to this carpenter. Take note, the laws of Judaism consist of commandments comprising ethical conduct, rituals, worship, social justice, dietary regulations, family life, and more. These commandments are categorized into 248 positive commands, prescribing specific actions like, "Thou shalt do this," and 365 commands prohibiting certain behaviors like, "Thou shalt not do this." What could they be thinking? Is it to silence the carpenter? Or to discredit Jesus by the question of a highly educated lawyer? Verse 35 says, "And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him by calling Jesus a teacher. Is this an honest title call to him or to disgrace Jesus? For they knew him as, is not this the carpenter?" Contrary to what they expected, and for all the complexities of the 613 commandments in their law, they heard an astounding, profound answer from the greatest teacher. The Pharisees now, together with a lawyer, heard what they wanted, and maybe in shame, and silenced. Because following Jesus' question to them, no one was able to give him an answer. Nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. In his response, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and a part of this passage in Leviticus 19, verse 18. He affirms that all the laws and commandments in the Old Testament, known as the law and the prophets, find their ultimate summation in this command: to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus' response challenges the religious leaders to redirect their legalistic devotion to religious rituals and roles and instead focus on the heart and the relationship with God and one another. Jesus emphasized that these two commandments are inseparable and foundational. That is, to love God is to love others, and to love others is to love God. This was stated more clearly in the first letter of John. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God. Whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The cross, a vertical and horizontal beams, signify these two commandments. The vertical beam represents our covenant relationship with God. It points us to have an upward focus on the divine and total dependence on him as our creator. Likewise, the horizontal beam represents our relationship together as human beings. It extends horizontally, reminding us that we as humans are all equal in the sight of God, and our responsibility to love and serve our fellow men. The intersection of the interlocking point of the vertical and horizontal beam represents the ultimate expression of God's love: Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, and where our covenant love relationship with God and love for each other converges. Again, you cannot love God and hate your fellow man, or love your fellow man and hate God. But how should we love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind? Loving God with all our heart encompasses adherence to the first four commandments. That is, we shall have no other God before him. We are not to make an idol or worship any other God. We are not to misuse the name of the Lord our God. And we are to remember the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. Loving the Lord with all our souls covers our acknowledgement that our lives are not our own, but belong to Him. We offer our whole being to God, entrusting our past, present, and future into His loving hands. For our soul represents our entire existence, our identity, and our eternal nature. Loving the Lord with all our minds requires our intellect and reasoning to deepen our relationship with Him for God's glory. It is in this category we think, learn, and understand God's will and desires for us. Studying His words, meditating on His truth, and allowing our thoughts to be transformed by His wisdom. We are also reminded that our God has given us the capacity to get wealth through our God-given talents and good health, and not by our own hand. Thus, we have to acknowledge that, and with thanksgiving, we give Him all the glory by our generous giving for the expansion of His kingdom. How should we love our neighbor? It shall be in the way we love ourselves, as is stated by Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Asked the law expert to Jesus. Instead of answering directly, Jesus told a story of a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, attacked by robbers and left half dead. A priest and a Levite passed by but ignored him. Then a despised Samaritan came along and had compassion for him, bandaged his wounds, took him to an inn, and continued caring for him, even paying in his expenses in advance. Jesus asked the law expert which of the three was a neighbor to the wounded man. His answer was the Samaritan, who showed him mercy, and he was right. So Jesus urged him to go and do likewise. This example denotes who is a neighbor to us, or in that particular audience, the Jews. It turns out that whom they despised was the one who was merciful and compassionate. The featuring of a good Samaritan by Jesus may have been controversial to them. For in his time, the Jews in Judah viewed the Samaritans as impure, and their worship practices were contrary to their accepted beliefs. Jews often avoided traveling to Samaritan territory and harbored prejudices, even hostile towards them. As evident, the Samaritan woman told Jesus when he asked for a drink, "How is that you, a Jew, ask of me a drink, a Samaritan?" It's like telling Jesus, "You Jews have no dealings with us Samaritans, right?" But this conversation turned many Samaritans believed Jesus was the Messiah because of the woman's testimony. Paul said to the Galatians, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." If your neighbor is a Christian, he or she has an equal entitlement as yours. What God has promised to Abraham is, "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse." Of course, if you want blessing, then bless that neighbor. You don't want to get cursed by God by cursing that neighbor, do you? And I don't mean you will say, I cursed him back because he cursed me and is not a Christian anyway. It shouldn't be that way. For the scripture says, do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. For those who desire to love life and to see good deeds, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In this passage, Peter gave us instruction on what we are to do. Therefore, to confirm that we got his instruction, we will declare this in first person. Okay? Can we see it all together? I will not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, I will repay with a blessing. It is for this that I was called, that I might inherit a blessing. For I desire to love life and to see goodness. I will keep my tongues from evil and my lips from speaking deceit. I will turn away from evil and do good. I will seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to my prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. If that neighbor is not a Christian, or to the point that he or she is your enemy, Jesus told us, but I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And also, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. So this means, irrespective of who they are, whether we know them or not, and regardless of their actions or spoken hateful words that may have hurt us, we are to express blessing, compassion, and above all, love them. Again, we have no choice but to bless others, for it is what we are called for. As salt of the earth and as light of the world. Regardless of who they are, they may be considered outsiders or different from us. We have to challenge ourselves to broaden our understanding to actively engage in acts of kindness and care for those in need, irrespective of societal divisions or prejudices. True neighborly love goes beyond religious and cultural boundaries, and it calls us to extend compassion and care to all people we encounter in our lives. Furthermore, loving our neighbor includes but is not limited to our adherence to the last six of the Ten Commandments. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. As I end, be reminded that Jesus himself set an example when he was still hanging on the cross. He told his father about those who had persecuted and had him killed. Prayed for them and begged his father, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Let us pray. Father, thank you, for thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. May your expression of love guide us so we can let our light shine before others, that they may see our good deeds and glorify you, our Father in heaven. Amen.